I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Stephen Spotts. He is a molecular virologist for the Southeast Poultry Research Lab of USDA. Thanks so much for joining us today. Now, you described yourself earlier as the self-proclaimed DNA guy when it comes to ILT and virology. Explain that to
me. As well as Merck's disease virus. So I'm classically trained as a molecular biologist, and what I do is a lot of genomics. So if you have a virus that you would like to know the DNA structure, people call me up and send me samples, and I'll determine the whole structure of the DNA virus and some RNA viruses as well. But with like IOTV, they're extremely large DNA viruses, so it takes a lot of work.
Well, I want to talk about infectious laryngotracheitis, otherwise known as ILT. Mm-hmm. And I was always under the impression that while I knew it was a pretty nasty respiratory viral disease, I always thought that ILT was ILT. But apparently there's some differences between the ILT that's in commercial flocks and what you see in backyard. Is that correct?
Yes. A lot of the commercial flocks, they have what we call vaccinal revertants. So when you vaccinate birds with a CEO vaccine, for example, it's a modified live virus, but it's a herpes virus that can establish a latent infection, go away, just like the cold sore phenomena that humans have. And it hides out in ganglia, and it can reactivate. And when it reactivates, it can change and become more virulent. In fact, by just simply passing the vaccine strains of IOTV in birds from one bird to another, you can increase the virulence. So in flocks, we see a lot of vaccinal IOT. And that's kind of surprising because we always think the vaccines are perfect, but these modified lives can change. And doing the DNA sequencing of a bunch of CEO-like viruses, we find that they're extremely related to the vaccine. So if you have an outbreak and you want to know what's causing the outbreak, you give me the virus, I'll sequence it, and it goes, well, it's really related to CEO. So we think of those as CEO-like revertants. And in backyard flocks, we do find that we have authentic wild type, that they're not related to the CEO. But in the beginning, when we started this genomic project of sequencing all these isolates, the majority of them turned out to be CEO-like revertants. The quest was to find out what wild type IOTV looks like. And we did find that, but it was after the fact that we found all these CEO-like vaccines. So we're always in search of what does wild-type IOTV look like, and we found it.
And you describe it as a quest. I mean, tell me about your research. What exactly were you trying to learn?
Well, we were trying to once we generated this phylogenetic tree, we were trying to see, you know, if we can find out what wild-type IOT looks like, we can use that to modify it and make a better vaccine. Because the CEO and the TCO vaccines have been around for decades. And they work fine, but if the vaccine is causing the disease, that's problematic, right? And some countries or states will not even allow people to vaccinate with the modified live CEO and TCO, so they're doing this vectored stuff. They have HVT, which is turkey herpes virus, expressing antigens of IOTV, and they work fine. And they don't revert to virulent because they're vectored, and they can be used in novo. So there's a lot of pressure to not use the modified lives, but to use these vectored ones because they do induce protective immunity, but not to the best degree that the CEO ones do.
Well, and it takes a while for them to kick in, correct?
Right. But they can do it earlier, they can do it in novo. So you have that whole convenience, so to speak, that the industry tends to elect everything to be in novo. So if you could just have robots inoculating eggs, that's better than the spray or the eye drop.
Well, and the industry was pretty quick to jump on that because it is so efficient, and for various reasons, the recombinant vaccines, I mean, they were a home run, high level of safety, long duration of immunity. Are there some downsides that we need to have a better understanding of?
They're not as protective as the modified lives. So a lot of times people will vaccinate with the vectored vaccines in novo and then have a boost with the modified live. And that seems to be the best combination. What we've learned through the decades of vaccinating that vaccination is a good thing, that it works and it protects. I mean, it's saving chicken lives.
And you've done a lot of work trying to match the viruses in the field to the viruses in the vaccine, is that right? What kind of progress either has been made or should be made to try to build a better vaccine for ILT?
Well, a lot of people are thinking about adding other immunogen stimulatory genes, for example, the cytokines. They're always saying, can we make a better vaccine by adding IL-18 or IL-6? And I think there's some interest in that. And building a better vaccine that will protect better. And not only with respect to the modified lives, we'd really like a vaccine that cannot establish latent infection or reactivate from latency. So if I had a vaccine that goes into the bird, protects, but does not go latent, it reduces the chance of mutation. So when it comes back, when the birds are stressed and the vaccine reactivates, it can recombine and form a more virulent thing or mutations. But if we would make a vaccine that cannot establish latency or cannot reactivate, that's the gold standard for what we're looking at, because everybody wants a vaccine that cannot establish latent infections. And so that's probably the best thing that we could do to prevent vaccinal revertants from forming.
Now, diagnostics are critical in any successful vaccination program. You're working on a new test as well.
The new test is basically a very convenient way of assessing what your flock is experiencing. So if you're experiencing, by using this assay, that it shows up that the cause of your disease in your birds is caused by the CEO revertant, we would suggest that you use a vectored one, you know, to get that out of your population. So the diagnostic assay that we're developing, it's simple, it's quick, and it can tell you if your vaccine or your vaccine went virulent or that you have wild type. And that if you have wild type, you really need to vaccinate. And if you have the vaccinal revertants, you need to switch around your management style of your flocks, because the majority of the isolates we get are CEO-like vaccinal revertants. But, you know, the test that we have is we call it a single locus assay. And that's just looking at one piece of DNA that can differentiate all these strains phylogenetically. Previously, labs across the world had various multi-locus assays in which they're looking at 5 to 6 different genes. And it was really cumbersome because they're amplifying hundreds of base pairs, sequencing these hundreds of base pairs from 5 different loci throughout the whole genome, and that's expensive. So our idea is to have a quick diagnostic assay that is inexpensive and can give you a turnaround for an answer in a couple days. And with the new sequencing technologies, it's going to get cheaper. I mean, we're looking at a new technology called the mini-ion. It's this nanopore sequencing technology where a piece of DNA is threaded through a nanopore and it reads the sequence based on electrical resistance. It's phenomenal.
I'm glad you understand all this.
Well, stuff. I know, and I look at it, you can tell that, yes, if it's a base pair of G, it has this resistance. If it's an A, it has this resistance. And not only the device is portable, so you can take it to the farm. We love that technology.
I can see why you would.
It would. It's get it out of the bench, and you just got this little thing that plugs into your computer, and you can sequence DNA.
Excellent. So we've talked about vaccination, we've talked about diagnostics, but a lot of it really comes down to biosecurity when you're talking about ILT. What have you learned in your research about biosecurity? Where are we falling short? What do we have to do better?
Well, I think reporting would be one of the things, because if you have an IoTV
reporting
yeah. that you have to tell people about it. And then there's these things that you don't want to farm downwind from where you have it. And so I think you have to be very honest in your reporting for biosecurity.
What's the next frontier? What else can we be doing to get a better handle on ILT?
make chickens that are genetically resistant to ILTV. It seems like there's not a tendency in the United States to like the idea of transgenic birds. People don't like the idea of Frankenstein food. But this is just the United States. If we could make a bird that is resistant to ILTV, the world could benefit. You know, sometimes we just think about what's going on in the United States. But there's a lot of people who would like chicken protein as a source. And so we're looking at Africa, Asia. As the world population gets bigger, we're going to have to make transgenic birds that are resistant. And there's this new technology called CRISPR technology, and people are engineering birds to be resistant to viral diseases, and it's going to happen.
It's a good time to be a DNA guy.
It is a good time to be a DNA guy, and the future looks bright, you know, with the population growth expanding, and we have to do a lot to feed all these people, and chicken is a great source of protein, so I think it's a good time to be in science.
We've been talking to Stephen Spotts. He is a molecular virologist at the Southeast Poultry Research Lab for USDA. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
You bet.